Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. Ever worried about the new generation of young people coming along? Ever wondered if they even care about religious freedom? Because we know that if we don't guard it carefully, we could lose it. Well, you can stop worrying, at least in part, because there are programs in place to help those of the latest generation recognize and protect our precious and fragile freedoms. Melissa Reed, Associate Editor of Liberty Magazine, is here to share some insights on this topic and tell us about a certain group of young people she met recently who are definitely educating themselves on matters concerning religious freedom. Melissa, tell us about the Freedom Classroom.
Well, thank you, Charles. I'm excited to talk about this today. The youth of the U.S. have a real special place in my heart as far as their enthusiasm and their passion. And so it was excited to see that translated to the issues that I work with on a day-to-day basis, which is religious freedom and religious liberty and freedom of conscience.
Yes.
So Freedom Classroom, one of the other hats that I wear is I serve as the executive director of the North American Religious Liberty Association, or NARLA as we refer to it. And NARLA is, like Liberty Magazine, associated with the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and it's a way for church members to really become involved in the work that we do. You know, a lot of times there are particular issues, and if you're interested in them and excited about them, you want to be able to be involved in the process as well.
Yeah.
And so NARLA really allows people to be able to do that. And so Freedom Classroom is an event that took place or that was organized by members of a NARLA chapter, the West Coast chapter. And so they, the individuals that lead out there in NARLA West, put together this program. They really had a burden to get young people involved in this ministry, as I like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they put together a program called Freedom Classroom. And basically they went to students in high schools and in Seventh-day Adventist academies and offered them the opportunity to come to Washington, D.C. and be involved in many different tours and conversations about religious freedom issues. In order to be eligible for the program, students had to write a 1,500-word essay on religious freedom, a topic of their choice, but specific, you know, the broader sense, religious freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also had to submit a personal statement on why freedom of religion and conscience is important to me, to the writer,
mm-hmm.
and to their generation specifically, to get kids thinking about something, you know, an issue that they don't particularly maybe hear about in the classroom as much or isn't expanded upon in such a way. And so there were many kids that entered,
mm-hmm.
and 13 students were selected and brought here to the Washington, D.C. area to participate in this week-long Freedom Classroom.
Wow.
And it was just really, I was just so impressed with, first of all, the planning of the individuals who put on the program and established the program. This is the, this year was the very first inaugural event. And so to have 13 students participate and to meet those kids was just a real pleasure. We are usually dealing with a different age group and anytime you interact with young people, they're not kids anymore, just that enthusiasm is infectious.
Yeah.
We were able to, in both in the Liberty capacity and both and then as working with NARLA, we're able to interact with them a few times and just a real, real delight.
You know, I'm curious, Melissa, you and I are of a generation that is once removed from their generation.
Mm-hmm.
If you had written this statement for your life when you were their age, would it have been different than it is now? Did you notice any kind of a thread running through today's statements as opposed to statements from our generation and previous to that?
Absolutely. The world is much different today than it was when I was growing up. There were much different issues involved, and I would have probably thought of freedom of conscience issues as something that affects someone
far away.
Far away.
Yeah, on another third world country someplace.
Yeah, on another continent. Yeah. It would not have been anything that I would have been able to relate to probably. I probably would have been impressed with, the severity of it in another situation, but not so much on my own personal liberties. And I don't know, with me and you in the conversations that we have, we know how it affects us here in the United States.
Yes, yes.
But I don't know. I think that this, the being involved in this Freedom Classroom really helped these young people understand how much it is a personal right at home issue.
Mm.
And I think that was really one of the benefits of having the program. But let me tell you just a little bit about what all it entailed once they got here to Washington, D.C. Lincoln and I and the other guests that we have on the show, we frequently talk about the history of religious liberty within our country, within our nation. And of course, Thomas Jefferson and James Madison are two of the founding fathers that really emphasized religious separation of church and state specifically. And so the young people went and toured both Montpelier, which is Jefferson's home there in Virginia, and then also James Madison's home. And they really were fortunate because they had tour guides that were able to emphasize the religious liberty aspect of those individuals. And that was very special. And then it's always just interesting, to be in the birthplace of our nation. They were able to have a special tour through the halls of Congress.
Mm.
They were able to go to the Supreme Court. And all of it, again, a lot of times kids go on broad history tours as high school students. But this was because of the guides that they had and the sponsorship, they were able to tie everything in to freedom of conscience, which was so interesting. They were able to have conversations with groups that deal with religious liberty on a day-to-day basis. Mm. Like I work for NARLA.
Mm-hmm.
There are many other organizations, and like I said before, that's sponsored by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. There are many other faiths who have similar organizations that do work on Capitol Hill, keeping an eye out for legislation that may affect, the religious freedom of their members.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were able to meet with not only my organization, but other organizations, a Jewish organization, a Baptist organization, a evangelical organization, and hear from them why religious liberty is important to their members.
Mm.
And it was also interesting because they also got to hear different perspectives.
Yes.
A lot of times we talk on the show about freedom of religion and we talk about the Establishment Clause versus the Free Exercise Clause and of the Constitution. Some organizations, the free exercise aspect of religious freedom is their real priority.
Mm-hmm.
And others focus very much, for their members, it's very important as far as the establishment and whatever. And it was so it was interesting to hear for these kids, a real educational process or opportunity for them to be able to hear from these other organizations. And also, a lot of times, it helped them sort of see it as a broader issue, that it's something that connects their faith belief, their faith community with another faith community. And so they might be more go home and be more sensitive than to what another faith is going through, even though it may not be affecting, their own religion.
Yeah. It amazes me because as you're talking there, bouncing off a statement you made that we have a very different group of young people in a very different world now. When you and I were growing up, we didn't have people flying airplanes into the World Trade Center in the name of God. We did not have people blowing themselves up and people in a marketplace in the name of God. So religion has really come under fire, and it is almost looked upon as an out there kind of organization. If you're religious, you must be a zealot. You must be a fundamentalist out there just doing weird things. Were you able in this tour, were these kids able to realize that religion is not that religion is really a personal thing in someone's own heart?
It's interesting because in just your question there, you said We think of the word fundamentalist. If someone is a fundamentalist, that's a negative thing. We think of that as a negative. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's a positive. If someone
should be a positive thing.
It should be a positive, you know. And liberty is actually. We had a guest that we've had on here many times, Dr. Bert Beach.
Yes.
He wrote an article for Liberty on just that very issue of, you know. You should be proud that you stand for your fundamental beliefs. Mm-hmm. And so you're right. But in society right now, the fact that you are so passionate, this is something that you believe above anything else and hold true above anything else is odd or frightening.
Or dangerous. It seems to be dangerous. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But back to your question, as far as I really was impressed with this group of kids because they were not only, you know, the top of their class, they had to have a particular GPA, a high GPA in order to be able to be eligible. So not only were they intelligent and, you know, full of energy and curious, they also were a very spiritual group. Mm. You could tell. I was able to attend church with them on the weekend. And they also came to our building. Our offices are located inside of the Seventh-day Adventist World Church complex. Mm-hmm. And so they came. We have a worship program every morning. We start our day with worship. And they came. These kids came and put on worship for us one day. Nice. It was just, you know, when you interact with people and their faith just radiates, mm-hmm. you know, they can't hide it sort of thing. And it was so refreshing to see that with these kids. And so you could tell that they came here, that they participated in this trip already knowing that faith was important, that they already had that relationship with Christ. And so I think that may have been one of the reasons why they were interested in participating was because it was something that was dear to them, you know, to be able to share their faith with other people, to be able to go to a school where they have religion classes, you know, those sorts of aspects.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking with Melissa Reed. She is associate editor of Liberty Magazine. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, more about the Freedom Classroom and the 13 young people who traveled to the nation's capital to learn about religious freedom and to learn about the people that support it and promote it in the very real way that it needs to be supported and promoted. So stay tuned. Right now, somewhere in the world, ADRA is changing a life. The Adventist Development and Relief Agency International maintains a presence in 125 countries. That means a child isn't going blind because someone is giving him a steady supply of vitamin A. That means a family is receiving the nourishment they need to stay healthy and prosper. That means hard-working people are gathering clean, fresh water from a local well rather than walking miles to draw from a polluted river. Would you like to help? Pick up the phone and call this number, 1-800-424-ADRA. That's 1-800-424-2372. Tell the operator that you'd like to partner with ADRA to make a difference in someone's life, someone you don't even know. Or visit www.adra.org. ADRA, changing the world one life at a time. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Melissa Reed is with us. She is associate editor of Liberty Magazine, and we're talking about Freedom Classroom, which is part of a program that came from NARLA West, and that's 13 young people who met the criteria necessary and traveled east here to the nation's capital to visit sites of religious freedom and to learn from those who have like interests and to learn that there are many people and many organizations that support religious freedom. I'm so glad to hear that, Melissa, because sometimes when we look at today's generation, we sort of have a skewed vision of it. I guess all of us do. Our generation, people looked at us and said, oh, can any good come out of that? But we're now looking at this new generation, and we're realizing that there is an element in it that is very, very interested in what we're interested in. And that's a good sign, Melissa, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I was just really impressed with this group. I mean, I believe God certainly led in the selection of these individuals. And it was, I think of when I think back to my own youth, the things that I was interested in as a teenager, I had all this energy and this, you know, passion, and I wanted, you know, it's going to be directed in some way.
Yes.
And I remember thinking, you know, something that appealed to me in that age group was human rights.
Hmm.
And so I think that that's probably true of this generation as well. When I see, you know, when you see activism and protest and organizations involved, you know, down lobbying and on Capitol Hill,
yes,
there's a lot of youth involved. And so I think being able to educate these individuals in that way, in the way that Freedom Classroom did, is really a way to sort of train their knowledge, but also give them an outlet for something that they may be looking for already, an opportunity, you know, to speak up about an issue that they may already feel is important.
Now, were there issues that these young people were particularly interested in? I mean, human rights, of course, is up there, and it's just linked with freedom of religion very
right.
tightly. Was there anything that you heard them discussing or they asked you that was of particular interest to them that you remembered?
Right. I think the thing that I heard most was they were interested in the Arab Spring from last year, really the international front and what, you know, might be in store there for individuals in the Middle East who are so desperate for democracy. But, you know, also sort of, you know, with freedom also comes the potential of, you know, something coming in that may hamper at a minority's rights.
Yes.
So I think that was probably the thing that I really saw most. You know, Dr. John Gratz, who we work very closely with, he's the head of the International Religious Liberty Association. He had the opportunity to speak with the kids and really, you know, give them updates from an international perspective. One other thing that I mentioned that I was really impressed with was, you know, they spent most of the time down on Capitol Hill and speaking with individuals there. They also spent time here in the building, and I mentioned they came and did the worship. As a Seventh-day Adventist, I'm so proud of our church's long-standing emphasis of religious freedom.
Yes.
And I was so impressed that, you know, we all have very busy lives, and we know that, you know, administrators have even busier lives than maybe you or I do. And yet we had several Seventh-day Adventist church leaders come and meet with these kids, these young people, take the time. Liberty Magazine sponsored a special lunch for them while they were here in our offices. And we had several people come and speak to them and greet them and let them know, you know, we're really impressed that you all have come, you know, taken the time to come on this trip, that this is a particular issue, and just really encourage, you know, that interest and that curiosity in religious liberty issues. And I really was so pleased, was so, you know, happy that took place, that
Absolutely.
Those individuals took the time that they did.
When these young people go home and they interact with other young people, this is sort of wrapped into the next question I wanted to ask you. What do you say to other young people to motivate them to begin to become more interested in this subject matter? What do you think they're going to say? What did you tell them to say? And if there are young people listening to the program right now, what do you want to say to them as an encouragement and motivation to become involved in the religious freedom movement?
Well, the thing that I asked of the individuals that visited here was I asked them to come and visit us on our Facebook page. Both Liberty Magazine and North American Religious Liberty Association has Facebook pages.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I can tell, I mean, the internet and Facebook in particular is where this age group has their conversations these days.
Yes.
And so I would love for them to continue the conversation there online and, you know, on the Liberty website, because that way we can continue to update them from back east and they can invite other individuals to participate in the conversation as well. And so that's what I asked them to do. And it was interesting because I did that at the lunch we sponsored. And by the time I'd gotten back to my desk, you know, everybody has their iPod or their phone there. But by the time I got back to my desk, I had 5 new friend requests from this group. And I certainly would encourage all of our listeners to do that same thing. Both Liberty Magazine's website, which is libertymagazine.org, and our Facebook page is a great way to become involved in the conversation. And And again, you may be, you know, not as familiar with the issues, but if you have that interest, it's a great way to sort of learn a little bit.
Yes.
And then be able to share your opinion. You know, that's the great thing. We want these kids to be able to have a voice as well, to say, you know, I really, you know, one thing I heard really resonated with, you know, with me, but I have a real question about that. And to be able to have that conversation, I think it's real aspect, because in that age group, that's really a time when you're questioning and when you're, you know, trying to sort of form who you are and what's important to you and your value system. And so being able to answer the questions for them, I think, is really integral.
And I've also discovered in visiting the website libertymagazine.org that there are issues presented there that you don't see in the main media. It's not on the 6 o'clock news. It may not show up in the newspaper anywhere or in Time or Newsweek. These are issues that are sometimes under the radar, but they are extremely important issues that we should be aware of.
I find that so true. It's interesting because I find that aspect true. And then also the religious freedom component of the story that you do hear on the news,
but
you haven't so much considered how that might affect your freedom, you know, to practice your faith or to share your faith with other people. Both of the, you know, both aspects. I mean, and hopefully we are filling that niche for people, you know, in educating them as far as how this may affect their personal liberties. But it's interesting because, you know, sometimes I wonder, how come this story got 10 minutes of news coverage? You know, some celebrity did something silly.
Yes.
And everybody knows this person's name, but they don't actually do any, you know, sort of, but yet something that's going on that's, you know, that is affecting someone's personal liberties or their, you know, someone's being a whole group, faith group or minority religion is being targeted somewhere because of their belief system. And yet that's not appearing in the news anywhere. So hopefully, you know, we are able to fill that gap and a need to bring light and bring attention to those sorts of issues.
You bring up a point there that is so important today. Most of the news outlets, the commercial news outlets, are trying to get you to watch, and they're going to put stuff up there that they think is going to entice you or stimulate you. You know, I think that it's time for us individually, every one of us, you and me, our listeners, to become our own news editors, to become our own producers, to start looking around, to cast the net wider, to bring in the stories that a lot of people are ignoring, and also to make sure that we understand the stories behind the stories. And the only way to do that is to look at sites such as libertymagazine.org or become a liker of Liberty Magazine on Facebook, where we can see these things happening. Then we can decide what's important to us. We can decide whether that needs to be said and talked about from the pulpit, across the back fence, at the cooler, at office. We need to become our own news editor. Am I on the right track here, Melissa?
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. And I have seen that in action. And I've been so appreciative when I've seen that. People, not only in visiting our site and participating in conversations there, but I've seen people on other, as you said, mainstream news sites making comments. You know, there's always the comment section after the stories, the articles, and people saying, I'm going to stop visiting your website if you keep covering these kind of stories, you know, like the silly stories or the salacious stories.
Yeah.
I think it's important to let the news organization know this is not what I'm interested in.
Are we as a people growing up, Melissa? Is that what's happening to us?
Well, I mean, I certainly hope so. I certainly hope, probably not at the speed that you and I would like, because it is being covered. You know, it's interesting that, you know, like I said, we know people's names that, you know, shouldn't be important to us for any reason.
Yes.
I'm always grateful when I see someone take a stand and say, you know, this is not what I want to hear. I will not be visiting your site or, you know, buying your publication if this is what you continue to cover.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, I like the word, it's our responsibility to do that. There's some stories out there that need to be told that are, you know, they're really important for us to hear and to respond to, mm-hmm. To take action as Americans, you know, as citizens of the earth that, you know, are passionate about justice.
Mm-hmm.
It's our goal to put those in front of people's minds and hearts.
What I hear you saying is that we need to all become part of the Freedom Classroom. We need to all gather ourselves together. We need to come up with our own statement. We need to come up with our own essays and in our own minds say, this is what's important to me. These are the things I need to know. Here are the resources available to me, like libertymagazine.org, and here is what I'm going to do about that information. And that's my final question for you today, Melissa. If you feel the fires of passion ignited in your mind and in your heart when it comes to religious freedom, what is the first step? How do we respond to that passion? What works?
Right. Well, like I said, if you have interest, I really do encourage you to take a look at our website. And if you want to also, we can always send you a sample issue of our magazine. Mm-hmm. If you want to give a call and request a sample issue of the magazine, our telephone number is 301-680-6690, 301-680-6690. We'd be happy to send you a copy of the current issue. Mm-hmm. All of our issues are available online. We probably have, I think we're up to like 15 years of our archives. Wow. There online on our website. Mm-hmm. And so let's say that you're interested in a particular topic. You're following, the birth control debate as far as the Affordable Health Care Act. Visit our website and we have a keyword search and you can see, various perspectives there from our magazine, from mm-hmm. from our authors. So I would encourage you to take advantage of what we're putting out there. I would also encourage you, and the thing that I really liked about the Freedom Classroom is just like I try to encourage people to, look at different mediums and different elements. Mm. And then I would also encourage you to look at your Bible and look at, of course, God's example of freedom, and then make those decisions for yourself. You know, every time that I hear someone parrot something that they heard, whether it might be flattering to hear someone parrot something from our magazine. Mm-hmm. But, if you're not ingesting it, if you're not making your own decision, and again, a decision based on your fundamental beliefs and what, me as a Christian, what Christ has taught us. Yes. That's what I feel like is so important, rather than just you heard a shock jock say this, or it had a catchy, the way that they said it was catchy or whatever, but actually searching and digging for that truth. I think that's just so important.
Oh, very, very good. And also, these radio programs are available online at libertymagazine.org. You want to check
absolutely
that out?
Absolutely, yes, yes. And I'm going to let those 13 kids who came and participated, I'm going to let them know via Facebook that they can come to the Liberty Magazine website and hear that we talked about them today.
Yes, absolutely. That's wonderful. I love that. Well, our time has flown by. Melissa Reed, Associate Editor of Liberty Magazine, thanks for being with us today. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Charles.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Melissa Reed, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. You've been listening to Life Quest Liberty. To further explore the issues discussed on today's program, visit www.libertymagazine.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of religious freedom burning in your heart today.